This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Or do you want to just do seerah? Leave Quran so we can do 20 minutes of seerah. We break, we come back at 9, we go to 9:30. So we give justice to seerah because I feel we're always ripping off seerah. So do you want to just do seerah?
I think we should just go straight through it. At least we have an early night.
I don't mind. We can continue and have and finish early, or have a break and finish 9:30. Up to you, brothers. Who prefers to just continue and finish early? So after Isha, okay, we stop. Okay, we'll do that. We'll just continue then. No break. If you want a break, you can leave. I understand if you need to eat or something, because I know brothers have been working and studying all day. So no break. We'll pray Isha and we're done. How's that? In that case, you want to just do seerah?
Yeah.
We'll just do seerah. Are you sure you don't want to think about it?
I don't want to think about it, but I really
like seerah. Yeah. I think we haven't given seerah. Sometimes we don't give it justice. So let's just do seerah, Shabab, with the Quran. The good thing is, with the Jam' al-Quran, we've already done that in Ulum al-Quran, which was the next week. So we've already covered that. So let's jump straight into seerah. And next week, if a hadith is going to take that long, I'll just give it over 2 weeks. We'll do over 2 weeks because there's no point in rushing. Where did we stop in Uhud? We took the martyrs and the females in jihad. Okay, and did we look at the ruling on women fighting? Good. So we're up to lessons from Uhud. Yeah, lessons from the Battle of Uhud. Yeah, in the Sealed Nectar, it talks about lessons. We looked at Hamra al-Asad already. Yeah, that the Prophet went out the next day to fight, to intimidate the Kuffar, and they retreated, and there was no fighting. Alhamdulillah, so I'll mention that. Correct. That's exactly what we're up to. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ba'd. We're only going to take one objective today, and I'll put that as the main heading. Lessons from the Battle of Uhud. You'll find this as the next chapter in the Sealed Nectar. Now, it doesn't mention a lot of the lessons, but he mentioned some of them based on Ibn al-Qayyim's work. So in the Sealed Nectar, you read that the Shaykh goes on to mention Ibn al-Qayyim because he has some amazing words and on the lessons from the Battle of Uhud. So we're just going to focus on approximately 12 lessons. Now, there are some lessons we already discussed in the past, but I'm going to refresh your memory. Among them, the tactics of the Kuffar and how they tried to break up the ranks of the believers. If you remember, Abu Sufyan, before the fight, he said, "O Ansar, we've got no pickle with you. We've got no issues with you. We just want to fight Ibn Ammina, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course the Muhajirun from Quraysh." Now they say this after they threatened the Ansar, in fact killed some of them. So they're only saying that, why? To break up the ranks of the believers, so the Muslims can then be bite-sized pieces. Because to take them all at once is difficult. So they want to divide and conquer, just like today. In the beginning, it was just, our issue is Palestine. Our issue is only Lebanon. Our issue is only Syria. Our issue is only this, only that, until it's the whole Ummah that they are gobbling up. And yeah, another example, we're only after the terrorists. We're only after the extremists. No, you're the good guys, the moderates, you guys are all right. Until everyone is actually an extremist and terrorist now. In fact, even kids at school, as you know, are targeted. So see how the tactics of the Kuffar, my dear brothers, is the same from day one. They want to break us up. And as the famous story of the three bulls goes, أُكِلْتُ يَوْمَ أُكِلَ الْثَوْرِ الْأَبْيَضِ. I was eaten the day the white ox was eaten. That's the day I was eaten. I was eaten and devoured the day the white ox was devoured. The day I gave up my brother. That's the day I was Eden. That's the day I signed my death contract, basically, my execution paper, when I gave up my brother, because I gave him up, and I gave up the other one, and the other one, eventually they came for me. That's an amazing story, the story of the three bulls. You can listen to it online. Just type in story of the three bulls, and there's many lectures on it. Interesting. It shows us the importance of brotherhood, unity, not to give up our brothers. Not to give up our brothers. And even if they stuff up, we admit their mistakes, but we don't give them up and sell them to the kuffar and hand them in so they can be devoured. Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from that. So that was one lesson. Another lesson was the defeatist mentality of some of the Muslims who, after hearing that the Prophet ﷺ was apparently killed, of course it was a rumor, what did they say? Let's go to Abu Sufyan because he's got a great relationship with Quraysh. Let's get him to sign a peace treaty. So we have today, subhanAllah, although the Battle of Uhud won't repeat, but the reaction of these Muslims will repeat in history.
So, just a question. The Sahaba, they were of the greatest, but then everyone basically comes after them. And like, the ranks of such Sahaba that wanted to like basically run away and all that, would they be part of them?
Yeah, the Sahaba as a whole are the best. And of course you have individuals, and some of them made mistakes. So they were saying that because they thought this was the maslaha. The Prophet is dead, let's go and solve this. And don't forget, there were still munafiqun. Although 300 of them, the majority of them, it could have been some who were affected by their ways. They weren't munafiqun, but they were affected. And it's like Muslims today. They're not munafiqun, but they're affected by the talk of the munafiqeen. When they start repeating their babble, but they're ignorant. So you had some Muslims who were weak, akhi, even in the time of the Prophet. But as a whole, they were the best. But individually, of course, that's different. That's when we look at, of course, each case, like Abu Bakr was the best. But some of them weren't like, of course, Abu Bakr. Some of them committed zina, as we know, like the hadith, if you remember. Hadith of Ma'iz, Qasat Ma'iz, as we all know. We took in hadith 14. Exactly, and at the end of the day, akhi, it's a battleground. And they're excused, you know, when there's a battle, you know, tempers are flaring and emotions also. It was a confusing day and they were getting killed. They were getting killed, so as you can see, it wasn't easy. It's easy for us sometimes to say when we're in an air-conditioned room learning seerah with pen and paper in theory, but they lived it. They lived it. They sacrificed literally their lives. They put their lives on the line for us. So sometimes it's easy for us. Ali Barak Fik Abdullah, it's a good point. It's easy for us to say, but at the time it was difficult. You know, even some Muslims buckle, break and shake, and they haven't even been threatened with anything. They're buckling, they're compromising. They haven't been threatened. Akhi, you're not even... Akhi, the cops didn't even visit you. You're buckling. What's going on? So you can imagine, akhi, they were getting slaughtered out there. So some of them said, let's get a peace treaty. But the point is not to have that mentality, that we're not going to compromise and we're not going to resort to going to the kuffar and the munafiqeen to solve our issues. But rather, we know we have our issues and we're going to solve it and we're going to stand. And therefore, that Ansari who was covered in blood, when he was told the Prophet is dead, what do you say? He said, if the Prophet is dead, it means he fulfilled his mission. So fight the way he fought and die the way he died. So you get some Muslims back then, exactly, that they weren't defeatists. They will never be defeated in heart, spirit and mind. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us among that group. Amen. So those were a couple of lessons we already discussed. As for some new lessons. We all know the Battle of Uhud to be a defeat in terms of dunya. However, Ibn al-Qayyim thinks otherwise. And he goes on to mention some amazing lessons, for he said, Uhud was actually a victory because it's a gold mine of lessons. Because Allah revealed ayat. A lot of ayat, especially in Surah Ali Imran. For Allah to reveal one ayah, there's a lot of lessons behind it. Allah revealed ayat. So the fact that Allah revealed ayat, it is an indication there's many lessons we can learn. And among the lessons, I'll draw your attention to ayat 139 to 141 from Surah Ali Imran. This is where the majority of this talk and this lesson will be based on. Ayat 139 to 141 from Surah Ali Imran. But we're going to look at other ayat, of course, which we'll take. So, in these ayat, what does Allah Azza wa Jalla say? وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمْ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not weaken and do not grieve while you are superior. The first lesson, you are superior. You are superior than the kuffar, even though you have been defeated. We are a superior nation, my dear brothers, and we have to believe that. Allah is telling the Sahaba, hold your heads up high. Yeah, you were defeated, but don't be demoralized. Don't be demotivated. Ibn Abbas, if you look at Asbabun Nuzul, this ayah was revealed after Uhud. My dear brothers, you know what that means? Allah is saying, you are superior. When was this ayah revealed? Not after the Muslims opened Mecca. Not after the Muslims defeated the Kuffar. Not after we conquered 3/4 of the globe. Allah said, you are superior when they faced their worst defeat in all of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. This was their worst defeat, where the Messenger himself ﷺ was almost killed. And 70 of the Sahaba were killed and martyred. This is the worst defeat. Despite that really daunting, difficult battle and defeat, Allah said, you are superior. It shows you this ummah, my dear brothers, is superior. So hold your head up high. Don't ever feel disgraced and humiliated by the kuffar. No matter what happens in this ummah, no matter what they do to the believers, we are superior because we are believers in Allah. Allah called the mu'minun khayrul bariyah, the best of creation, while Allah called the kuffar sharrul bariyah, the worst of creation. So that's the first, that this ummah, we as an ummah are superior. No matter what. Even if our lands are being usurped from its resources and our believing brother and sister are being killed, raped, oppressed, locked up, we are still superior. We may lose this dunya, but we gain the hereafter. Amazing ayah. So that's Surah Al-Imran, of course, ayah 139. Now going on to 140, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If a wound should touch you, you're hurt, you had a battle, you got hurt and injured, well, don't worry. A similar wound has already touched the others, the kuffar. A wound similar to what you suffered has already touched them. In other words, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us, the second lesson, do not let these wounds, do not let defeat stop you and prevent you from continuing. That's the second lesson. Allah said, they have also suffered defeat. When? Ahsant, the battle of Badr. My dear brothers, if the defeat of the kuffar did not stop them, then how can the believers stop? Allah is really saying, if their defeat did not stop them, they came back charging at you, fighting, then how come you're not continuing the fight? No, you should also continue the fight. And Ibn al-Qayyim adds that the kafir is not hoping in the reward like the believer. He's got nothing to hope for. He's got nothing to live for. What is he fighting for? The believer is fighting for Jannah, is fighting for the sake of Allah. Fi sabilillah, the kafir is fighting fi sabil al-taghut. So that should be even more of a reason, more of an incentive to keep you going, subhanAllah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, what happened to you has happened to the Quraysh in Badr. And if that did not stop them from carrying on the fight, then likewise this should not prevent you from carrying on the fight, subhanAllah. So keep your spirits high. Don't ever let defeat stop you. That's the second lesson. Third lesson, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And these days of varying conditions, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we alternate among the people so that Allah may make evident those who believe. So the third lesson is win some, learn some. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Listen to Ibn al-Qayyim, the love doctor, or the heart doctor rather, the love doctor, Sheikh Bilal al-Nun. Listen to what Ibn al-Qayyim, the heart doctor, says about this amazing ayah. He said, it's not appropriate for the believers to always win. And it's not appropriate for the believers to always lose. Why? He said, if the believers always win, everyone will join in the fight alongside the believers. Everyone will join the side of the believers and you won't be able to distinguish who's a kafir and who's a munafiq and who's a believer. Because they're winning and they are going to join for the sake of dunya. The Muslims are always winning, hey, let's just join them. So Allah said, he concluded this ayah by saying, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah wants to make evident who truly believes. In other words, they're going to be in the fight whether they win or lose because they're believers. Allah is making evident. But if it was always the believers winning, then even the munafiqun will join. So how are you going to distinguish those who believe? The fact that the believers are losing sometimes is a test to see who's going to stay till the very end. Who's going to do the long haul, staying in for the long run. So subhanAllah, great wisdom. So he said it's not appropriate that the believers always win, but it's not appropriate that the believers always lose. Why? Because the purpose of Allah sending the Anbiya, the Prophets and the Messengers, was to establish Tawheed on earth, to make the word of Tawheed superior over the rest. So if the kuffar are always winning and winning and winning, then it defeats that purpose of Allah sending the Prophets and Messengers. So he said, no, rather it has to be a bit of both. It has to be. Allahu Akbar, amazing, the minds of the scholars. So jihad and defeat test the people. Who's going to sacrifice for Allah and who won't? Fourth lesson from the Battle of Badr. Allah says, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاء. Continuing on with these ayat, Allah says, and He, Allah, may take to Himself from among you shuhada, martyrs. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal allowed the believers to get killed to grant them shahada, martyrdom. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah adds to this ayah, comments on this ayah by saying, martyrdom has an extremely high status in al-Islam. As-salamu alaykum. As we know, martyrdom has an extremely high status.
Is this the ayah 140 or
141? 141. If you want to have the ayah in front of you, I'm pretty sure it's 140. Pretty sure. I don't have the... I broke up the ayah. So I've got the ayah, but I didn't write the number. So, I'm pretty sure it's 140. So, it is? Yes. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that we know shahada, of course, to be among the highest of ranks. It's only third to prophethood and siddiqeen. Allah says, أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. So shahada was third. It came third to Nabiyeen, prophets, and then Siddiqeen, like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, for example. That's the highest level after prophethood. So therefore, prophethood, number one. Second level, Siddiqeen, those with firm, unwavering iman, Sidq. And number three, Shuhada, the Shaheed. And martyrdom, Shahada, is number three, the high level. How can Allah Azza wa Jal grant this high level to some believers if they are not killed by kuffar? So it's necessary that believers are overpowered. It's necessary, it has to happen for Allah to grant them martyrdom. That's a valuable lesson. And sometimes pain is necessary for gain. We all want victory, but we don't want pain where you can't get the rainbow except with a little bit of rain. It's necessary. So, necessary. You have to go through that which you hate to get that which you love. And sometimes, you know, a kid, you're bathing them. The kid doesn't want it, especially if they're newborn. They're crying, but you're scrubbing them for their benefit. You're putting through them hardship, yeah? They don't, oh, stop it. They don't want to get bathed, but it's for their benefit. So sometimes you're going through, of course, a very, you know, simple parable, but we understand sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla puts you through difficulties, not because He just wants to, but rather it's for your benefit, even though we may not see it. So therefore, to get killed by a kafir is actually the best death. It's not humiliating. Ibn Hazm said, the best of death is to die at the hands of a kafir. That's the best. You got martyrdom. And you know, Umar Mukhtar, the famous mujahid who fought against the Italians in the 1920s, he was captured, yeah? Huh? Yeah, amen. He was captured and he was standing before the tawaghit and the Italian and the judge. And they put him under pressure. They say, you know why you've been captured? Yes. What have you done? I fought Italians. How many years? 20 years. He fought against the Italians and he's saying it. And they're all there, they're going nuts. Hang him, do this, they're going nuts. Do you regret what you've done? No. Allahu Akbar. Do you know what's going to happen to you? Yes. What's that? Execution. He knows. Will you now sign something to free your neck? Will you basically compromise? He said, this finger that testifies nothing worthy of worship is at Allah, how can it bear witness to something which is false? What an honorable death. And he was killed shortly after. What an honorable death. So these kuffar, when they kill our believers overseas, whether it's the Rafida or the kuffar, Mukhtar. Yeah, when they're killing our believers and they're trying to humiliate them like the Rawafid, where's your Allah now, where's your Prophet now, right? Although they think we call upon Muhammad, no we don't. But anyway, it shows you how ignorant they are. And they think they're humiliating us, that's not humiliation. Allah's honouring us. Little do they know, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So don't be deceived. When you see that, I know it's heartbreaking, But Allah is giving that person, inshallah, martyrdom and also a high reward. And that leads us on to point number 5. Allah Azza wa Jal, He tests the believers, He makes them go through pain and hardship. Why? To purify them. That's the 5th lesson of Uhud. Allah allowed this defeat to occur to purify the believers and grant them a high reward. Like we gave the parable of bathing a child, yeah, it's to clean him up, to purify him. He doesn't want it. He thinks it's bad. He thinks the soap, you know, kids, they think the soap is bad. They don't like it. Well, sometimes to purify us of our sins, you need to go through that purification process, which is ugly. It's ugly sometimes. Just like medicine. Medicine is bitter, but you take it regardless because it purifies you. But sometimes that bitter experience is necessary. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah said, so He may purify the believers through trials. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah Azza wa Jal at times loves a believer so much. Allah Azza wa Jal loves a believer so much, He reserves a very high place in Jannah, right up here. But that believer's deeds are not enough to get them there. They're all the way down here. So what does Allah do to get them up there? Tests. Allah tests them because their deeds are not enough. They don't qualify. So Allah tests them, and those tests, those hardships, and their sabr, of course, they have to be patient, it raises them. Because our deeds, my dear brothers, our sadaqah, our salah, our siyam, our jihad, it's nothing compared to the sahaba. But you find some believers, subhanAllah, my dear brothers, they have such good hearts, pure hearts, they have love of Allah, and they wish they can be like the sahaba, but they, whatever circumstances around them, they've got those pure hearts. That's why it's important to have a pure heart. Allah knows that. So what He'll do? He'll test that person. Sometimes you find good people, they have miserable lives in terms of the tests. Having miserable lives, they're tested a lot, tested, but they're good people. Why? They think Allah hates them. No, rather the opposite is true. But sometimes you may find people who are very good, they're very noble, but they're going through test after test after test. Allah is raising them, my brothers. So wallah, there's a lot of wisdom if we only knew. But the opposite is true. Allah at times may despise a kafir so much. Allah has reserved a place in Jahannam for him, booked, reservation, with his name right on it. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, He knows this person is so evil. What does Allah do? He opens up doors for him. And that person, that kafir, takes advantage of that. And it leads him down a path of destruction. So that kafir is digging his grave deeper. Allahu Akbar. So sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, He hates a kafir so much. Allah Azza wa Jal allows the kafir to be destroyed by his own actions. And that leads us on to point number 6. Lesson number 6 from Uhud is that Allah allowed Uhud to occur. Why? To destroy the disbelievers. What's the next part? Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, He's done this to destroy the disbelievers. In other words, Allah hated the disbelievers who were fighting Islam so much. Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed them through their actions in dunya. In other words, that them fighting Islam, is that good for them? Of course not. Them fighting against the messenger, fighting Sahaba, fighting Islam, killing Sahaba, that's the worst thing that could have happened to them ever. That's not something they should be happy and proud about. That's something that they're going to regret on the Day of Judgment. So they're standing, you know, thinking all happy and proud of their so-called victory in Uhud. That's destruction for them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla allows the kafir to play out his role in dunya. Allah is collecting evidence. He's gathering evidence against him. So Allah Azza wa Jalla leaves the kafir, not because Allah is heedless, a'udhu billah. Allah gives him respite. Why? To destroy him further. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah said, He extends the kafir in his rebellion, in his tughyan. He extends him, why? Because it's actually bad for him. Allah is gathering evidence. Yeah, keep going. Look at, for example, Bashar al-Assad. If he only gave up in the beginning, maybe he has a few hundred people he is accountable for Yawm al-Qiyamah. But now, after how many years of fighting in Syria, 5 years plus, imagine the thousands upon thousands who are dead, and the millions who have been displaced and kicked out of Syria, without homes and food. He has to answer for all of that. So this extending of him, a person may say, why doesn't Allah just destroy him already? Allah's destroying him this way. This man is digging his grave deeper. So Now the fact that he keeps on going, this extension is bad for him. And that's what Allah said, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ. Allah extends the kafir. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ in their tughyan, in their rebellion. This is actually worse for them. And we gave this example when we took Surah Al-Fil. You know, Allah destroyed Abrah and his army, where? In Al-Yaman or in Mecca? Mecca, yes? Allah could have destroyed them way before, yes? And of course He could. He could have allowed the earth to swallow them up, lightning bolt, something. Allah waited for them to get all the way to Mecca, then destroy them. Why? Because by then, they spent all their resources, all their wealth, their training, their funds, soldiers. They spent it all. And then they lose it in the end. That's worse for them, as opposed to just losing in the beginning. It's like even at school sometimes, a teacher, he sees a kid mucking up, but he allows him to keep going. Yeah, go, go. Keep mucking up. Keep teasing those students. Keep hitting. Oh, I'm watching you. When the bell rings, ta'al, like, come here. And he cops it. He cops it. So sometimes they let him off, not because it's actually good for them. It's actually worse for them. Allah is using this to build a case against the kuffar. So therefore, my dear brothers, when we see a certain nation of the kuffar overpowering the Muslims, killing Muslims, locking them up, throwing them in prison without trial or due process, whatever the case may be, injustice upon injustice, when we see a certain nation of kufr or particular countries of the West doing that to the Muslims, don't think that is good for them. This is actually a sign of destruction and wrath from Allah on that country. This is a sign of destruction, subhanAllah. It's actually bad for them, because what they're doing is actually they are destroying themselves with their own hands. So Allah gives them a chance in dunya to rightfully achieve and claim their places in hellfire that Allah has reserved for them. SubhanAllah. So don't think that they will escape justice. Continuing with the lessons from Uhud, number 7. Seventh lesson, now we're going to go to another ayah. Ayah 159 from Surah Ali Imran. Lesson 7 is how Allah corrected the mistakes of the Sahaba, of the archers. So what we learn from Uhud is how to correct mistakes when people stuff up. This is which ayah? 159 from Ali Imran. These archers who were commissioned by the Prophet ﷺ to stay on the mount disobeyed Rasulullah ﷺ. And because of that, 70 of the Sahaba were killed and Rasulullah was almost killed. So they stuffed up big time, big time. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ himself didn't initially want to go out and fight Uhud. Yes, he wanted to stay in Al-Medina, if you recall. Because they stuffed up, how did Allah correct this mistake? Allah told Rasulullah ﷺ, listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It's because of Allah's mercy, you were merciful to them and lenient towards them, Ya Rasulullah. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْلًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكِ. If you were harsh and had a vulgar nature, then the Sahaba would have dispersed from you, never to return. So Allah says, now gives us a three-step process on how to correct people's mistakes when they stuff up. Maybe you're a boss, maybe you're a father, maybe you're someone who has people under you. When they stuff up, listen to this advice. Step number one, Allah says, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Not just forgive, but pardon completely. In other words, to wipe it away completely as though it never happened. That's al-afu. Al-afu in Arabic means al-mahyu, to wipe out. So the first step when someone stuffs up is to pardon, but that in English doesn't really give it justice, but it's to wipe out that mistake completely. Not just forgive. Sometimes people say, I forgive you, but I don't forget. I'm not going to forget what you said to me in 2003 on March 23rd, right? I'm not going to forget. No, no. Akhi, forgive and forget. That doesn't mean you don't take heed for next time, but wipe it out. Don't even bring it up. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He does so. That alone is difficult. True? When someone really hurts you, imagine someone did something and they got your family killed. That alone, just to pardon them and forgive them is hard enough. But next step, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Ask Allah to forgive them. Make dua for them. Usually, someone stuffs up, we make dua against them, not for them. Allah saying, no, wastaghfir lahum. Ask Allah to forgive them. That's difficult. Oh Allah, forgive so-and-so. You want to say, oh Allah, destroy so-and-so. Oh Allah, forgive so-and-so. That's difficult. So usually people don't even pass step one. Usually, just forgive, bro. No, I'm not going to forgive. That's even difficult. Prophet did that as well. He made dua for them. And final, this is the icing on the cake. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Consult them. Make shura with them. When in fact it was shura that would have, if it was shura that resulted in the death of the companions. Because the Prophet ﷺ initially didn't want to go out. They wanted to go out. So that shura was a result of this defeat. But nevertheless, Allah still telling the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ the benefits of shura. It's still showing the benefits of shura. That although this happened, whether the result is bad or good, it doesn't matter. The results are with Allah. You just do your best. And the best thing you can do is to consult. So that's the third step. Consult them. In other words, ask them for advice. How difficult is that to someone who stuffed you up? How difficult? You really have to step on your pride and ego. Imagine, akhi, look, this guy hurt you. Akhi, I need your advice. Allahu Akbar, how would that person feel? Man, I really rip with this guy. Yeah, he's coming to me for advice? What a brother. You can imagine the mutual feelings of goodness that will come out after that.
Is that on all topics or are there some topics that...
Yeah, of course. Look, these are general rules. However, there are exceptions, of course. You know, there are exceptions. Because even at times, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't apply that for every matter. But these are just general guidelines to live by. And that's where wisdom... You know, knowledge is to know the ayah. Wisdom is knowing when do you apply the ayah. Sah? Yes.
Is this the same ayah that when the slave girl dropped the cup on the child's head? And, she recited the ayah?
I think you're referring to Harun al-Rashid when the slave dropped the hot water on him.
Yeah, no.
That's also Surah Ali Imran. We said it today. What ayah number was it? Do you remember? But it's also وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ نَعْمْ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ نَعْمْ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So that's actually going to take it next week in لَا تَغْضَبْ. So interesting you mentioned that. But that is in Ali Imran. It's another ayah. So you just gave all the brothers a preview for next week. That was like a trailer. So he ruined it. No, he didn't actually. But Ahsanti Akhi. So it is a similar ayah. And subhanAllah, Surah Al Imran is jam packed with lessons. I can see now why Labib said last year, do tafsir Surah Al Imran, do tafsir Surah Al Imran. And I didn't listen. That's my bad. But as you can see, but subhanAllah, we ended up taking these ayat anyway. So mental note, listen to Labib. Okay? So that's what we learned from the Battle of Uhud. Allah, yani, so many lessons. Lesson number 8 now from the Battle of Uhud is how Allah purifies the hearts. How Allah purifies the hearts. So what does this mean? If you would look at how Allah dealt with the Sahaba after Badr and how we dealt with the Sahaba after Uhud, complete opposite. After Badr, the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ did something that was tarkul awla. They didn't go against the Sharia, but they did something which wasn't the best option. They did something which was permissible, but there was something which was more recommended, and that was the execution of the prisoners. However, they ransomed them off. That was permissible. They were both permissible. But it would have been more appropriate to execute because this was the first time Iman and Islam met on the battlefield. So therefore, the Prophet didn't make a mistake. Sometimes Muslims ask, how did the Prophet go against this Sharia ruling? He didn't go against the Sharia. It's called Tarkul Awla. For example, when you hear the Adhan, what should you do after the Adhan? Between Adhan and Iqama? Dua, or? Very good. Or prayer, yes? If you read Quran, is that wrong? No, are you rewarded? Of course, so, but it's more appropriate to perform dua or pray, you see? So that's tarkul awla, to leave that which was more appropriate. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. He should have executed, but he ransomed. Out of his mercy, of course. What did Allah say? This was after victory. The Sahaba were victorious at Badr, yes? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 68, لَوْلَا كِتَابٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقَ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. if it wasn't for a prior decree that Allah has recorded, you would have been touched with punishment. After victory, instead of praising the Sahaba, you're victorious, good on you. Allah says, you were going to get punished. We're just victorious, I was going to get punished. SubhanAllah, Allah's purifying the heart from the disease of kibr and arrogance. They just won. Allah said, you're going to get punished. After Uhud, they just lost. What did Allah say? Allah said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Ayah 152 from Surah Ali Imran. Allah said, He's pardoned you, not just even forgave you. Because al-istighfar in Arabic, al-istighfar, when you ask Allah for forgiveness, غَفَرَ, when you say غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ, it means Allah forgave you, but He covered that sin. It's still there, yes? He covered it. That's why a mighfar in Arabic is a helmet. When you put a helmet on, is your head still there or does it go away? It's still there. So therefore, ghafara in Arabic means to cover. So when you ask Allah to, you say istighfar, it's actually better to ask Allah for al-afu, to wipe it completely. So Allah said, He didn't just say, ghafartu lakum, I covered your sin. No, He said, walaqad afa ankum. Allah wiped that sin completely from your record. They just stuffed up big time again. That's why I connected it to correcting mistakes. So after Badr, victorious, Allah said He was going to punish you. After Uhud, they were defeated, Allah said He forgave you. So that disease after maybe Uhud, which was I'm a failure, right? No confidence and make them fall into despair, Allah said, no, He's forgiven you, don't worry. Lift your head up. Look how Allah Azza wa Jalla deals with people. Look how Allah deals. Look how we deal with people. But how Allah deals with people. Us, we write people off. You know, we write people off, never to look back. Allahumma sta'an. Another lesson from Uhud, number 9, is the consequences of sins. What does this mean, the consequences of sins? Which sin? On Uhud, what happened? Correct. The ones who disobeyed, the 40 out of the 50 archers who disobeyed the Prophet alayhi wasallam. Because of that one command they disobeyed, the whole army suffered defeat. The whole army. Allahu Akbar. Today we sin day and night, and we expect victory. There's many ways to this victory, and among them is for us, as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Notice what I'm about to say. Not the whole Ummah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Al-Ta'ifatul Mansura, Al-Firqatul Najiyah, when they become good, that's when the Ummah will get victory. When they. A lot of Muslims say, when there's no munafiqeen in the Ummah, that's when we'll get victory. No. When every single Muslim in the Ummah becomes good. No. It's when the saved sect, the Ta'ifatul Mansura, are good. Because, this is proof, that when they, the saved sect, they sin, that's when they failed. To say only when there's munafiqeen, when they're out of this Ummah, that's when we'll have victory. No, because didn't the Prophet eventually become victorious? He sure did. Weren't there still hypocrites at the end? They sure were. And also another proof is that the failure at Badr, the failure at Uhud, which is of course dunya failure, the defeat at Uhud wasn't because of the munafiqeen. True? Never do you find any of the ulama saying the Muslims were defeated at Uhud because of the hypocrites. Never, ever, ever. In fact, I actually say, you know, it's because of the Sahaba who sinned. That's what caused it. Their sin, they disobeyed the messenger. In other words, it's when the saved sect, when they are good, when they come back to the straight path, when they are good, the Ummah will be good. And of course, there's many ways to achieve that and to get this victory. And this is a very, very valid, of course, explanation. And therefore, don't expect the whole Ummah to be right until we get victory. No, the victory will come, even if the whole Ummah isn't necessarily on goodness and truth. It's only when those who are supposed to be the flag bearers of truth, when they, if they are sinful, if they are stuffing up, they're letting the Ummah down, that's what's going to let us down. And in fact, as we know, the hypocrites, they defected, yeah? They actually left the battle before the battle. So that wasn't actually, and as we know, in the beginning, they were victorious, so it wasn't actually the munafiqeen being there was what caused the defeat. Number 10. This is the last lesson. Allah was preparing the Sahaba for the greatest catastrophe yet to come. What was that? Correct. The death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened at Uhud, Allah was preparing the Sahaba of the greatest catastrophe. The greatest catastrophe to hit this Ummah is the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As He Himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever you are afflicted with a trial, remember the trial of losing me. So Allah was preparing them. Why? With the rumor that went around that Muhammad is dead. Muhammad is dead. Allah was preparing them. So they were starting to think after the battle, yeah, what if the Prophet did die? You know, Rasulullah was everything to the Sahaba. He was their teacher, their prophet, their messenger, their father, their friend. He was everything. So when they lost Rasulullah, they lost it all. They lost it all. That was like a huge setback for the Ummah. You can imagine. And that's why some of them said things that they shouldn't have said, like Umar ibn Khattab, whoever says Muhammad is dead, I'll cut off his head. So they it was really hard on them. So Allah's preparing them for that until Abu Bakr came. Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah ta'ala hayyun la yamut. Words of gold. Whoever worships Muhammad, then Muhammad is dead. Just like the early prophets. But whoever worships Allah, he's the ever living. So Allah was preparing the Sahaba for the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's number 10. And we can... Naam. Sahih. Another ayah. Naam. Wama Muhammad. No, exactly. Very good, akhi. This ayah is directly connected. Wama Muhammadun illa Rasul. So Allah says he's only a messenger. قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. That are they? Of course, messengers have come as well. And if he was to die or be killed, are you going to turn back on your heels? And whoever does so won't hurt Allah. And finally, my dear brothers, what we learn from this is that this deen is not dependent upon an individual. Even if Rasulullah was to die, Allah said, are you going to turn back on your heels? Sometimes brothers say, man, the shaykh is no longer here. Man, bro, we're gonna kaka after he's gone. And he resigned. Who's going to help me, my iman? Or now the ummah won't be victorious if this commander is defeated. No. This deen is dependent upon Allah Azza wa Jal. No human, Allah. So very valuable lessons from the Battle of Uhud. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us. Amen. Jazakum Allah khairan shabab for attentive listening. After Isha, you are dismissed. So we had our break, yani, as we said, put it forward. And so therefore, after Salatul Isha, you are dismissed, and we'll see you next week. Next week is the last week, shabab, so see you then, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan. If you have any questions, I've got 30 seconds. Allah barik. No problem, akhi. Allah barik fit. No worries, akhi. I understand, bro. Allah barik. Well, alhamdulillah. We missed you, bro. How you been? Looking good, akhi Aziz. Allah barik fit. Allah barik fit, habibi. Allah da'alak. Jazakallah khairan, akhi. Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you been, akhi? How are you feeling? How's your head, brother? Alhamdulillah. No, please. Well, one's enough. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, how's everything? How's the family? Alhamdulillah, we missed you.
Yeah, I was missing the lecture.
Alhamdulillah, No problem. Yeah, akhi.
I got the dose for today. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, good on you, brother. May Allah reward you, akhi. Yeah.
Actually, I was very interested, but I spoke to my wife and she said no. Saturday is your duty, so. Actually, for
that's true.
2 days, I'm still off, like. For Friday, I don't get to
be with
kids most because I'm all day I'm working and then I come here.
Allah reward you, akhi.
So it's only 3 days weekend.
No worries, I understand. Look, I'm in the same boat, but I had to.
Yeah.
You have to make these sacrifices, I understand.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
No worries, akhi. Waayakum, akhi. Waayakum. Amjad will score on your behalf.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah, sorry I asked you about that and then I kind of. Yeah, but I wasn't sure it would be on Saturday.
Yeah, don't worry, Akhi. That's not your fault.
Yeah.
I originally thought it was Sunday, so not your fault.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for volunteering, Akhi. Well, yeah, come. I'll see you upstairs, inshallah.
صح